This is the first time I've officially ever done kind of a full class versus just filling in. So bear with me. I'll do my best. But so what we're going to be talking about, let me ask you this. Have any of you ever seen or heard of a television show called Alone? Yes. So there, we got people that are watching it. It's kind of an interesting show. If you haven't seen it, yes, it's a reality show, and reality shows are everywhere, and I understand that. But the interesting thing about Alone is it's 10 contestants that are part of this game, but they are put out in an area, all separated from each other, in usually a fairly northern area. I think the one that's going right now is in the Arctic Circle. And so you are dealing with really rough conditions. There's grizzlies, there's wolves, there's cold weather, there's rain. You are put out there, and if you are accepted into this competition, you get 10 items to take with you. And you don't have, by the way, a crew that's out there filming you. You are set up with a set of cameras that you take with you. You have to take all your own video. You don't have anyone else. And the goal of this game is who can last the longest before tapping out, is what they say. If you tap out, you do have a satellite phone, basically, that you can call and say, okay, I'm finished. I'm out of the game. That's kind of the concept of it. And the interesting thing is, when I think about that, the process, and at the very beginning of this, when they're interviewing and talking to the contestants, and they're showing how rugged they are and how strong they are and why they believe that they can last the longest with all these survival skills. And it's amazing the skills that they have, not taking anything away from that. And they talk about, there's no way I will tap out unless, it's for health reasons or they pull me out, that kind of thing, because they are monitoring those kind of things with the contestants. But they talk about how they're going to be the ones that survive alone the longest. But the interesting thing is, so many of those contestants, and there's only 10 of them, but sometimes it doesn't take long at all, and they have to tap out. And it's not because they couldn't find something to eat, it was because they were alone. And it came down to many of them, and they will talk about it, they did not realize, even though they've seen other seasons of this show and see how it happens every time and how they're going to be, you're always going to be the different one, right? It's always going to be different for me. But so many of them, what they miss is the human interaction, the ones they love. Could be their spouse. It could be their children. It could be their parents. It could be, but they're there alone, and they think about the love of human companionship and just what they miss, and they cannot handle it. So what does that say? Life without love, it's difficult. It's not natural. Life without love is unbiblical. And we're going to see that. So we're going to study over the next few weeks 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and kind of just dive into this over the next few weeks to look at love from a biblical perspective. We're going to look at what love is and what love is not. There are things that we should be doing when we think about love and things we should not be doing when we think about love. So, as we get into this, knowing that this is a study called a 1 Corinthians 13 Christian, what passage of Scripture do you think we're going to go to first? Any guesses? Not 1 Corinthians 13. It's a trick question. So, where's my clicker? We are actually going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 12. It says, "And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you." So let's read that again, just kind of slowly. May the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we do also for you. So, increase and abound in love. There's a couple of key words in there. And you can say, well, yes, love. Okay, but increase and abound. Think about that word increase. If we are to increase in love, that means we need to constantly grow. It isn't just a, oh, I've got it. I was born with it. Here it is. That's the way it's going to be. We can increase in love. Your love can grow for those around you. Your love can grow for God. And this says, this isn't just a, hey, if you want to, why don't you do a little bit more of this? But it says, may the Lord cause you to increase, which is to constantly grow, and abound. If you abound in something, if you have an abundance of something, that means you kind of have an overflowing of. You abound, you overflow with love. So, increase and abound, constantly grow, overflow with love for one another. Uh-oh, there's something else here too. This is the harder part. It says, how many people? Which people? All people. Now, don't look beside you, but it's not always easy, right? I'm hoping you're not looking beside you. That's not always easy. But God's word wouldn't say that if it's not possible. And we do know there's different types of love. But we are to love all people, and not just love people, but to increase and abound in love. Okay, so let's go now over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to actually just read the whole chapter first, here at the beginning of this, and then we'll start to go back into some of the details. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak, and I'm just so everyone is aware, I'm using the New American Standard Version, so that you're aware what version I'm using. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. So this chapter starts with stressing the significance of love. And actually, we're going to kind of back up just slightly into chapter 12 to get a little bit of context. In chapter 12, Paul is dealing and talking about the use of spiritual gifts. And what we'll talk about this coming up in a few weeks, but the use of spiritual gifts, basically think about miracles that happened. That was during this particular time, not something that we still have today. But he's kind of setting up this chapter by talking about these spiritual gifts. And then toward as we think about that chapter, at the end of it, he's kind of almost like giving a sort of like a fork in the road. So there's this choice, in a sense, of, hey, there's all these spiritual gifts, these miracles that are taking place, and there's something that's actually even more excellent. There's something that's even better than that. And that is what we as Christians need to focus on. And he's even telling them there is a more excellent way than even thinking about these spiritual gifts that are happening at that time. So in chapter 12, verse 31, it says, Paul says, "But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way." So if we look at that, just to note, when he talks about an excellent way, a more excellent way, the Greek word for that is kind of a street or a journey. There is a way. There is a journey. There is a more excellent journey. And that, the other thing of the word, thinking about the word excellent, what do you think of when you think of something that's excellent? I'm not talking Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure here. It's great. It stands out. If something is not, it's not just good, it's excellent. It's something that stands out, and it's a journey. And so he's saying there is a more excellent way than anything you can even think about when it comes to miracles, and we're going to talk about the rest of what he talks about in chapter 13, but there is a more excellent way. There is a way that stands out, and it's love. And so he introduces chapter 13 by saying, "And I show you," and I think the New King James Version says, "And yet I show you." There's all these things, these wonderful things that God has provided. And yet, I'm going to show you something else that God has provided, but it's an even more excellent way. So with that, kind of looking this morning kind of at a top level, and then we're going to dig more into this chapter in coming weeks, but let's talk about what is worth more than love. Kind of given the answer. It's a spoiler, right? But it's not the way the world thinks. And many times, even within these walls, we have to remind ourselves about what is the more excellent way. And love is an exceptional way of life. It is excellent, but it's sometimes not easy. It's sometimes not easy. So, let's look at verses 1 through 3 of chapter 13. "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." Do you notice how many times all is used in these couple of verses? And what is it talking about? I mean, it's talking about all mysteries, all knowledge, all faith. If I have all of that, not just a little bit. And you think about, I mean, how many of us sitting here would be thinking, wow, if I knew every mystery, do you guys have any questions in life that you wonder how something is or wonder why something is? If you knew everything about every mystery, if you had all knowledge, I mean, the world would be thinking, wow, think of the power you could have with that. He's saying, I could have all that. Even if I had all that and I do not have love, it is nothing. I am nothing. It means nothing. So, I'll throw it out there. What's worth more than love? Nothing. But living our lives in love and with love and our attitudes with love, that's not the easiest thing to do, is it? Sometimes it's extremely easy. Sometimes it's not. We talked about the setup. Sorry, I'm not clicking very much here or quick enough here. So, love is greater than everything. Love is that more excellent way. Love is the journey. Love is the exceptional way of life. So, for a Christian, for us, when we look at love, I'm kind of group some scriptures. As we know, there's a lot of scriptures in God's word about love for good reason. So I'm going to kind of group some of these ways to look at these scriptures in a few categories. And by the way, I think I had it on the front screen, but this is based on a book, a study by Dan Winkler. It's a very good, short pamphlet book about love. Just want to make sure, give credit where credit's due on a lot of the material that's in this. So as we look at love, think about love, I'm going to have a list of about five of these, but think about love as a badge. What do you think about when you think of a badge? What was it?
A symbol.
A symbol. Okay, a badge. What do you think about, it can be a symbol. It identifies something. So it's something you've earned, okay? What do you think of when you think of movies and badges? Westerns, maybe? You see like a sheriff with a badge? What was that?
Upholding the law.
Right, upholding the law. Why did a sheriff need to have a badge? Identification. You're identified. If you have a badge, if you have whatever kind of badge, whether you're a sheriff or not, how many of you guys, are you guys any deputy sheriffs in here? If you have a badge, whether it's law enforcement, other emergency responders, et cetera, you have a badge you're identified as. People can recognize you. As Christians, how should we be recognized? Love is a badge. Love is a badge. And it's clear in God's word that we should be recognizable as Christians with our love, with the way we act, with the way we interact with the world, with those around us. So John chapter 13. We'll look at some of the scriptures here. John chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this love, all men will know." It's not a question of, okay, if you have love, hopefully somebody will notice. It says, all men, by this love, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. All men will not just know that you're a good person. All men will know that you are my disciples. It should be clear when we're in this building, when we're out of this building, it should be clear that we are Christians. Love should be a badge. So occasionally I might say, here's a challenge. And so I'll ask you or give you a challenge. When you're not sitting here, when you're not inside these walls and you're out at your job, when you're at school, when you're at a restaurant, when you're whatever, with the way you interact with people, can they tell you're a Christian? And I know you might not be around someone long enough that they necessarily, but there are times, and you've probably even experienced it if you're living this, where people say, something's different about you. What is it? It should be a badge. Love is a badge. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. So, if somebody hears about something, that usually means it was something that someone thought it was worth talking about. If you're not really doing anything, people aren't going to say, well, I heard you're not doing anything. I guess maybe they will. If you're that lazy, somebody might hear about you being not doing anything. But usually, if people are hearing about something, it means somebody has thought it's worth talking about. Now, hopefully it's not gossip, and hopefully it's not things they shouldn't be talking about. But when it comes to love, if people were hearing about love, that means it was something excellent. It was something exceptional, and they're hearing about it. Love is a badge. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. It's, once again, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love. Notice love is with all these verses. It's not just heard. We've heard you're Christians. We've heard you're doing this. It's linked with, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all saints. And what you'll notice is many of these verses link our love with our faith and with our Christianity. This all goes together. This all goes together. If we are not thinking about love from a Christian standpoint, we'll end up being selfish. We might love those that are close to us, but we're not going to be taking into account, at least as often, the I'm going to put others before myself. I'm going to deal with and be able to work with people that I might not, you know, just very easily get along with otherwise. Those kind of things. So love is a badge. Love is a boundary. So if you think about a curb, some curbs right out here, right? As you pull in underneath, or a curb on a street, there's only one reason for those, right? Just to scratch your wheels up on your car. Now, what are curbs for? Why is there a curb on a street? Yeah, it's separation. It keeps you where you need to be. It guides you, in a sense. If you kind of hit that curve, you're going to turn back the other direction, hopefully. That's what a curb is for. So it kind of sets some boundaries. It helps you stay in the lane. We talked about love being an exceptional way or a journey. It keeps you along that journey and where we need to go. So as Christians, we can almost think about kind of this curb of compassion, a curb of love that we are to function within. John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. John 15, verses 9 and 10. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So again, abide, it means you're within, you abide in. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So abiding in love, keeping God's commandments. Again, linking our Christianity with love. And so, this whole, whatever it is, next 10 weeks is all about a 1 Corinthians 13 or a biblical, beyond just 1 Corinthians 13, a biblical, a Christian love. That is very different. I mean, I think if I took a vote here, a Christian's love versus just anyone that's out in the world, do you think there's a difference? It's pretty obvious. And again, it should be obvious. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Walk in love. And then just back a couple of chapters, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. So, verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love. That doesn't mean just anywhere and everywhere, go do what you want. Rooted and grounded in love. So, as Christians, we act differently. And I don't mean act meaning we got to kind of be like an actor and just portray it and not mean it. But we behave differently as Christians. We treat others differently as Christians. We live differently as Christians. So related to this, related to love being a boundary, love is also a blockade. You can think about a curb as kind of a guide to keep you on the journey and on the path you need. A blockade kind of says, don't go here. Don't go past this. If you see a caution high voltage sign, what do? You go grab it. You go touch it. No. You stay away from it, right? I've seen videos of people that don't realize a fence is electric and go up to pet the horse and they grab the fence and it kind of gives them a bit of a shock, right? Or you do that just to your brothers because it's fun to do and you make them, you know, do that sort of thing. But if there's something that is kind of a blockade, the intention is you do not go there. And there's good reason not to go there. So in many cases, there are things that from a standpoint of love, it tells you, you don't do this if you have love. Something that's destructive, something that's deadly, something that's dangerous, something that's not good for you or not good for others. So Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of law. Romans chapter 14, verses 13 and 15. Sorry, 13 through 15. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him who thinks anything is unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. This is all about just kind of making sure that we don't do things that might, in and of itself, you think, okay, this isn't here's a black and white verse that says don't do something, but a brother or sister might not understand it, might not understand the context, might not, and they could view it as, oh, they're doing something wrong. I guess I can do whatever it might be. So what this is telling us, though, is these verses, well, I guess let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, and look at that one as well, real quick. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So don't harm people. Don't cause brothers and sisters or anyone to stumble, but don't cause our brothers and sisters in Christ to stumble. Don't do things that are meaningfully or purposefully going to harm. There are times that things are done to you that you're just, man, I wish I could kind of get them back, right? Maybe that's just me, and I got that problem. Or sometimes, do we ever have that mindset or attitude of, well, I don't want anything really bad to happen, but I sure hope nothing good happens for them. Do we ever have that feeling? It's sometimes tough not to, at least it is for me. But that, this saying love is a blockade, it's saying don't go there. It's not good for anyone. It's not good for us. It's not good for them. It doesn't help us stand out as a Christian that has this badge of love. So, love is a blockade. Again, kind of related, but love is a buffer. Why do you think they put... Anybody in here, I'm sure, I mean, we're all so young. Nobody's probably ever used antacid tablets, right? Nobody. Has anyone in here not used an antacid tablet? Raise your hand if you've not ever had a Tums. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Why do you think they put fruity flavors in that? Any reason? Or medicines or whatever. Why put a fruity flavor? Why put or whatever flavor you want to... Why do they do that? Yeah, it tastes a little better. It's a little easier to take. It's maybe not as chalky and nasty or whatever. And maybe you love them. Actually, I kind of like the fruity flavors. They're kind of like candy. Okay, that's another. I have issues. They do. It's kind of a buffer, right? It kind of helps something taste a little better. Are there people that it's kind of hard to take? Again, don't look. Just keep your head straight. There are some times that it's hard to deal with people. But if we have love, that we can handle things. We can deal with people that might not be our best friend, that might not be exactly the ones that we just think, well, that I just want to spend all my time with. And there might be people that are attacking us in the world, even at times you feel like might be attacking us inside the walls of these congregations. There a comment?
You know what you do to God.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's many examples where people are saying, let God take care of it. I think a lot of Stephen when he was being stoned. He was literally dying. And what did he say? What did he say to God? Don't hold this. Please don't hold this against them. He's saying it's not from his standpoint, from his view, even though they obviously weren't repentant in what they were doing, he's saying, this isn't something I can handle. And he had a forgiving heart and is saying, God, take care of it. I'll let God take care of it. And for my part, please, God doesn't intend or want us. Actually, he says, do not take this. I will take care of things. I will take care of you. It isn't our place as Christians to say, okay, it's time for me to discipline you. Now, I'm not talking about kids at home and how we need to handle things. There are times for discipline. There are times in the church for discipline, according to God's word, of members of God's church. But I'm talking about vengeance, or I'm going to get you back, or you've done something wrong to me, so I'm going to do something. There's no place. So, thank God that love can be a buffer. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 13 and 14. Be on alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Only if people are nice at you, though. I'm nice to you, though. Nice at you? That's a good one. Yeah, Alice, you can laugh at me. That's okay. Let all that you do be done in love. Not always easy. But God wouldn't say it if it wasn't possible. Let all that you do be done in love. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. This is a difficult one, isn't it? It's easy to get defensive. Very easy to get defensive. And we should always be, as this talks about, let's be ready. If someone says something that is contrary to God's word, let's talk about that. But our approach in that can have drastic impacts on how that's received. We probably all have had situations in our lives, whether it's with friends or family, and some might be very, very close family, that are not following God's word. But if we take this and just start slamming them over the head, it's not going to have the impact that God intends this to have the impact on them. But with gentleness and respect and love, we can absolutely defend every word of that's in this book, every single word of what God has given us. And we can do it in love. And as a matter of fact, God says that's the recipe for not just defending his word, but bringing those who have gone astray back to his word. But the other thing we have to make sure, gentleness and respect and love in dealing with people that are difficult to deal with, especially when it comes to God's word, that also does not mean compromising God's word. We cannot compromise what God says and say that it's love. Because it is the complete opposite of that. If we really love someone, we will never go against God's word. And that can mean very difficult things, and it can mean things that the world will say, you obviously don't love them, because you're not just doing whatever they want, and it's you're not saying, well, you be you, and you go do your thing. That's not love. And that doesn't matter whether it's a friend or whether it's a child. Love is a buffer, but we have to be using God's word, and we have to, as Christians, do it with gentleness and respect, but let's defend God's word no matter what. Got 5 minutes here. Oh, thank you. Perfect. Love is a bond. Colossians chapter 3. So if you think about love being a bond, you know, I sometimes think about, well, college football just started, right? Or the Olympics or whatever. If you like sports, some of you probably don't like sports. That's okay, too. But one thing that happens a lot in sports is there's injuries. Pickleball. Does anybody do pickleball? There's a theory that it's all a conspiracy by doctors to make older people think they can play pickleball, and then they're just coming in with all these injuries. I don't know. I kind of like pickleball. It's kind of fun. But you think about sports, you think about injuries, and a lot of times it's knee injuries or whatever it might be. What is it that's in knees and other joints that kind of holds things together? There's ligaments, right? There's this series of tissues that holds things together, that binds things together. And when those go off the rail, that's when you got issues. Love is a bond. Love, it holds us together. It holds Christians together. It helps us as brothers and sisters in Christ. It gives us a connection to each other. You think of the song, Love, about the tie that binds. Blessed be the tie that binds. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. So as those having been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing one another with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And then Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. Is anybody into knitting? I gave it up, but no, I'm kidding. I never started it. Okay, we got some knitters. Knitting together doesn't mean just kind of let's spool some thread around something, right? It's knit together. It's tied together. It works together. That's what love does. It connects the virtues, the characteristics of a Christian to our hearts. It's a heart thing. It's an attitude thing. That's what love is all about. I only have 1 minute. I might save the next one till next week. Maybe I'll go through. I'll hit it quickly, just in case. So, love is a breastplate. Breastplate, that's a word you use pretty much every day in your vocabulary, right? You're getting ready to go to work. Oh, I forgot my breastplate. Let me go grab it. Not really one that we think about all that often. But we know what a breastplate is when we think about Christianity and the protection. You think about Goliath back in the day, at least from a biblical standpoint. It said that he had a coat of mail or a breastplate of scales that was 5,000 shekels. Another word we use a lot, right? How many shekels do I weigh today? No. 5,000 shekels of bronze, that's about 200 pounds, almost 200 pounds was this breastplate. Why? For protection. Well, love for Christians, we have a lot less heavy application of a breastplate, but far more effective. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Actually, I might not have time to go through all these. You guys have the verses here. Maybe I won't go through and read these scriptures. Let you see it here. You've got them if you want. But it is a breastplate. It protects us. Love protects us. God protects us through His love. He takes care of us. So I want to leave you with this, just as I mentioned kind of the challenge. But do others recognize the love in us? I can just leave it there. Do others recognize the love in Mark chapter 12. Let's end with that verse. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. Well-known verse. Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Thank you.